today's daf is daf mem. We got to the bottom, we're a little bit behind on the bottom of Lamed Tes and Beis. We got to two wide lines down, I believe. Is that right? Tanya Bikur Cholom?
Yeah.
Makes sense? Okay. So Gemara says, Tanya Bikur Cholom ain la shir. So Bikur Cholom has no shir, no set amount. So asks the Gemara, my ain la shir. What does that mean there's no shir to Bikur Cholom? Savor of Yosef Lemeimar, Rav Yosef thought to say, ain shir lematan schar. The reward that one gets, there's no limit to it. It's boundless. So the Gemara says, Amar le Abaye. Abaye says back to Rav Yosef, b'chol mitzvos mi yesh shir lematan scharan. Is there any mitzvah? Is there any set amount to any mitzvah? V'hatanan, the Mishnah tells us, have a zar b'mitzvah mitzvah kala k'v'chamura she'ena ita yodea matan tcharen shemitzvos. The Mishnah of us tells us the person should be careful to do all mitzvahs, whether it be what we think is a mitzvah kala or a mitzvah chamur, because we don't really know the schar of any mitzvah. So it's not something unique to Bikur Cholom. All mitzvahs have an unknown schar. Now one could really suggest that even though there's an unknown schar to the mitzvah, as the Mishnah Pirkei tells us, there still might be a shear to the schar. The Bikur Cholom might not have a shear at all. I'm not sure what that means exactly. But the Gemara asks that question and leaves it and goes on to give a different interpretation. The Gemara says, El Amar Bai Afilu Gadol Eto Katan. A person shouldn't feel that it's beneath me to go visit a katan, someone who's below me. And so it says the... Is there a ran here? There's no ran here. But there's a mefarish here. The mefarish explains, "Afilu gadol eitzo katan shelo yemar lo avaker ela gadol kamoni." Person said, "I'm not going to go visit this minor or this person who's younger than me. I'm only going to visit someone who's like me, if not greater than me." So that's what it means. Ein lo shir. There's no set amounts of who the age is, the chashivas of each individual. Bikur Cholom applies to all people across the board. Rav Amar afilu meya. What it means that a person should go multiple times throughout the day, even if it means 100 times in one day, there's no set amount that I've been yotze. I went once a day, I'm yotze the mitzvah. That's not true. A person may have to go, if he's needed, up to 100 times, if not more.
One is the sechar shiur. Second is the gadol and katan. The shiur don't make that cheshbon. And third of all, the number of times is shiur.
Exactly. Those are three different interpretations. But the first interpretation about schar was rejected, though. We said all mitzvahs have this concept of ein lo shir. We don't know the schar for any mitzvah. So in the end of the day, the two that we say is katan eto gadol and afilu mea pamim. So interesting here, actually. I have on the side here, quotes Meshita Mekubetzes, that don't we have a concept by Hashavas Aveda that a zakan, let's say a zakan is walking and he sees a lost wallet in the mud, or he has to bend down to get it, and he can't really bend down. If it's beneath his cover to go bend down or to get dirty, he's actually potter from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So perhaps we should say the same thing also here, that maybe if someone is beneath his cover, whether he be a zakan or whether it be a rav, maybe he shouldn't have to go do Bikur Cholom of someone who's beneath his cover. So he says, no, it's different here. Why? Because it comes to Bikur Cholom, we find that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as he mentioned yesterday, he went to visit Avraham Avinu to perform the mitzvah of Bikur Cholom. So obviously, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to visit Avraham Avinu, there's no other situation where we should be exempt from. If Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing it, we certainly should be doing it, even if it seems to be beneath our kavod. What? Avut?
Din of Avut.
Yeah. And therefore what?
Therefore, there's no shiur. And in the same way that when the leg is sick, the brain makes sure that it gets healthy. Because we one shiur, one koma. So, yeah.
So you're saying that's the pneumius involved, is that we're all...
can motzi gadol ador in kiddush because I have arvut din of arvut.
But you could say something by Hashavas Aveda then. If that person lost his money, so it's me losing my money, so what's the exemption there?
No, but then you cannot do it from a limitation. He's a ken.
No, so here too also, you should say a zaken as well. If it's beneath his cover to go visit the...
Okay. It's living beneath cover, there's a ken.
No, but could be so let's say a zaken. Forget a person, a zaken.
So he cannot walk. What do you want from him?
No, let's say he could go. He could go bend down and get dirty. He can, but we say he doesn't have to. He could go to the hospital, schlep over there. He can make it. If he can't make it, then he's onus. If he can make it, it's just not so respectful for him to go. There's no exemption. Okay. So the Gemara continues to say now, Amar Bich Acha Barchanina, Kol Mevaker Cholin Notel Echad Mishishim Bitzaro. The Gemara also appears in Bab Metzia that anybody who goes to visit someone who's sick, he removes from him 1/60th of his tsar, pain. Interesting. I think the Gemara in Bab Metzia says his chelyo. Is there a girsa change here? Yeah, Michal, exactly. Gemara, I think it's Bab Metzia, right? Let's see. Yeah, Bab Metzia. So the Gemara there says it takes a 60th of his sickness, his illness away. The Gemara says here it takes a 60th of his pain away. Very, very different, of course. So Amrilei Imkain, if that's the case, Leilon Shisin, have 60 people, Velokme, let 60 people visit him, and they each take off 1/60th, and then he'll be completely healed. Yeah. So Amrilei Kisirasa Deberav has to be a percentage. It's not 1/60th equal. So the first guy comes in, takes off 1/60th, he has 59 left. The next guy takes off 1/60th, exactly, so ends up being 5.9, he's taking, or not 5.9, whatever, less than 1. It's 0.9 or something he takes off. And it keeps going down, so he'll never get to 100%. And all of it still helps, yeah. And then, but it also has to be Ben Gil, has to be someone of the same mazel, being in the same, born in the same mazel. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Rebbe Omer, Bas Hanizones Menichse Achen, no, tell us Iser Nechasim. So a daughter is going to be, if there's a Yerusha that goes to the brothers, she gets to be fed and supported by the property. She takes 1/10 of the property. Amrulah, so they say back to Rebbe, the Dvarech, according to your words, Misha Yeshel Eser Banos, Uben Ein Lo Leben, but Makam Banos Klum. So if you're taking, they each take 1/10, so they take 10%, 10%, and the son gets nothing. So what does it mean? The same model. Amrulah, Rishono Nitol Notas Iser Nechasim, Shnia, B'mashishiyara, Shlishish Mashishiyara, V'chozeretz V'cholkes B'shav. They keep taking 1/10 of what's remaining until it goes down to 10%, 10%, 10%. It's not the same amounts. Same idea. That's the model that we're using above. What? Yeah, we learned it. Very good. There's an amazing gra. The gra says, let's see if I remember this for a second. When the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu was sick, and Yosef went to visit him. So it says, which I should get the words properly right here. Is there a chumashir? What? Yes. Everything but a chumash, not the basics. There is. It's a kedai gematria.
That's the midterm. Right in the beginning,
by
a
chi. It's like vihine.
Yeah, over there. You see Rashi Kapshuta. Now to your right, to the down. Yes, to the left. That's it.
So there's an amazing gra. The gra says, and Yaakov was sick, and it says,
let me make sure I remember this.
Where is this? There we go. Here we go. I got it. Okay. It says, "Vayagi Yaakov." So Yaakov had called. He was with Ephraim. He said, "Ephraim, please get Yosef, your father. I want to go speak to Yosef before I die." So Vayagi Yaakov, and he tells Yaakov, and he's told that Yosef's here. So Vayomer. So he says, "Hine bincha Yosef baylecha." So your son Yosef's here. So the word "hine" is eksha. So the gematria of "hine" is "hey nun hey" is 555. That's 60. Then it says, "Vayischazek Yisrael." Yisrael got stronger. Vayeshev, he stood up on the mita. The gematria of mita is 5495. Ends up being 59. So hine, and then vayischazek. He walked in. He got stronger. It turned to 59 left. So and Yosef and Yaakov were same, born in the same mazel. So that's, he says, the raya from this beautiful gra, right?
Very nice.
Okay.
Fine. Mita is 59.
Yeah, hamita is 59. Yeah, mem is 40.
Hamita.
Right, hamita. Test is 9, and 5, hey and hey, in the beginning of the end, Hamita, it's 59. Okay, the Gemara now, the last line of Lam Tesma Bey says, Rav Chalbo. What?
I guess Ephraim was there already. He should have taken, I guess he took 1/60th of what was left.
What was Ephraim of the same mazel?
Ephraim was the same
mazel. Ben Gila, right. Yeah. I don't know when Ephraim was born.
Yosef is the same Ben Gila.
We know when they were born.
You know what mazel they're
born? If you know what Hebrew month they're born in, it would be the same mazel. So when do we know Yosef and Yaakov? I don't know, I'm not sure. When was Yaakov born? I don't know. Was he born in Tishrei? Maybe he was born in Tishrei. Yitzchak was born in Nisan. Yaakov may have been born in Tishrei, and I'm not sure how we know Yosef was born in Tishrei also. I don't know. Okay, so Rav Chalva was sick, and Nafik, Achritz, Rav Kana, and Rav Kana went out, and he made an announcement that Rav Chalva was sick. So it says Rav Chalva Baish. Lashon Baish, Rashi says on the top, and Ranos says Chalva, he was sick. Loika de Kasi, no one came to visit him. So Amar Lahu, so he says to the people, Lo Kachaya Maisa B'Talmud Echad, wasn't there a story that a particular student, Mitamidi Rabbi Kiva, Shechala, and the student got sick. Lo Nichnasu Chacham Levakro, none of the Chacham went to visit him. V'nichnas Rabbi Kiva Levakro, finally Rabbi Kiva said, I'm going to go visit, he's my Talmud. U'bishvil Shekibdo V'ribsu Lefanav Chaya, and because of the great honor that Rabbi Kiva had shown this Talmud, it strengthened him, gave him emotional support, gave him psychological support, gave him some hope, and he was healed. So we see that visiting a person who's sick, it brings them back to life. And Amar Lei Rabbi Chisani, so he says to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, you saved me. So Yatzir Rabbi Akiva, when he left the Beis Cholim, let's say he left the hospital of Adarashi, made the following drasha. Kol mi she'ein mevaker cholim kilu shovech damim. Anybody who does not visit the sick is as if they're killing them. And that was how Rabbi Chalva tried to get people to come visit Rav Kana, rather Rav Kana tried to get people to visit Rav Chalva as he was sick. Kiyasa Rav Dimi came, Amar Kol Mavakis Achola Gorim Lo Shiyich. Anybody who, he says it in a more positive way, anybody who visits the sick brings them back to life. Bechol Sheinim Mavakis Achola Gorim Lo Shiyamas. And those who don't visit brings them to death. My grandma, how does he cause them to die? Ilema Kol Mavakis Achola Mavakis L'Rachmim Shiyich. It means, because if one who visits the Chola, he's going to see how bad he is and he's going to daven on his behalf. And then who doesn't visit him, he's going to daven that he died. Worse, what do you mean? Shiyamas Al-Kadaita, would we ever think that someone's going to daven that someone die? Ella, what he means to say is, person doesn't really see the situation the person's in, he won't daven from either way, he'll just forget about him. So it's important to go see to daven. So we see these are, remember I mentioned the other day, there are three basic elements, I think the Ran is going to delineate one of these places, three basic elements as part of a Bikur Cholim. One of them is to daven. When you go visit them, you're supposed to daven, whether be there, whether you see them, and it will get you to daven on their behalf. And if you don't go visit, it's not going to bring you to davening.
This is a very controversial Ran.
Yes,
very famous
Ran. Exactly, so let's look at the Ran here. The top Ran says, Ein mevakish alav rachmim lo shiach yev lo shiamas. Person, if you don't visit the sick, you will not daven for him that he die or that he live. Near beinai, it appears in my eyes, says the Ran, the Hachi Kamar. Pamim shetzarach levakish rachmim al chola sheyomos. There are certain situations where you daven that he die. Kigon shemitzara chola bechel yaharbe, where he's really, really in a lot of pain. It's impossible for him to live. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Ksubis, "Techev nechazay am to the Rebbe da'al kama zimnin leves hakise varach tefillin v'kamet star amar yihiratzon shiachufa yon mesat achtonim the klomar dilimus Rebbe." You might remember the story with David that Rebbe was very sick, and they said anybody who says that Rebbe dies at Dein Chumsa, anybody who says he dies is going to be placed in Cherem, I think, or something. And the Chum were davening very hard that he not die. And the maidservant of Rebbe saw that he's putting tefillin on, he had stomach problems, went to the bathroom, back and forth, went through a lot of tzara, until finally the point she says, I daven that the Elyonim are conquering the Tachtonim, and let Rebbe depart from this world because he's going through so much pain. Umishim Hachi, for this reason, says the Ran, Kamar deha mevakir chola me'oli mo'ila betulaso afilu lechayos b'tnei shi tefila yoser mo'elis. That's why when a person goes to visit the sick, his tefila is more accepted even to help them live because the tefila is yoser mo'elis. I'm not sure what he means by that. But umisha einu mevakro ein tzarech lomar sheinu mo'elis lechayos el afilu hecha de'ikale hana ha'bemisa afilu osa zutrasi einu mahanaho. What was that last line saying?
For him to die because you don't know the amount of pain he's going
through. Uh-huh. So the point he said from here is that two points from the Ram. Number one is that there are certain times where we daven that someone dies when they're going through so much pain. And number two is that Number two is that the way that tefillah is most effective is when you go visit the sick. This is a controversial run. Others argue you can never daven that somebody died. It's not in our control to do that.
I would say the opposite. Who am I? But I would say the opposite. That you never should daven that he will die when he suffers. Because when he's suffering, they're suffering up there.
Interesting.
Not that I'll do that, but...
I understand. I do understand.
Everybody will be brave with other shit. I don't want to be any secrets. Can you imagine something? Yeah, let him suffer.
Uh-huh. Okay, this is interesting. With the Chassam Sofer writes, he quotes a Gemara, and doesn't argue this point, but he quotes a Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Daled, which says, anybody who's Mevakish Rachman b'fnei Chola in front of the Chola doesn't need to mention the name. Normally, when you do Mishberach for a Cholim, so you're supposed to mention the person's name. But if you're in front of the Chola, you don't need to mention the name.
Yeah, yeah, it was mentioned somewhere, or maybe in this, the previous one was developed in a way, I forgot.
Yeah.
That, yeah, and that's why you mentioned also betoch shar chole Israel.
Yeah, we saw this together?
Clearly, I don't remember exactly what, but...
So the Chassam Sofer says, the Mekubalim explain, because if a person mentions a person, when you mention a person's name, it's me'orir a certain midas hadin in the Shemayim. So if a person's sick...
I think that he said that if you mention your name, so as if you mekalkel the kovet Shechina because he's there, because it says somewhere that the Shechina is with the Chole in the time, so you do not need to say that as if you disrespect something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, but the Mekubalim are saying when you mention a person's name, though, it's somehow me'orir a midas hadin.
Yes, it's so, shaking the... Like, you know, it sits and it stinks, and if you move it,
right.
Smell, so all the dinim.
So when you daven, when the chol is there and you don't have to mention his name, you're not, when you're shaking, not moving anything, it's much safer for the chola to daven without having to mention his name. That's why it's very important to daven in the presence of a chola. It's the best way to daven on behalf of the chola. Okay, I don't see anybody who argues with this Ron here, though. Okay, I thought it was... Okay. There's a discussion. Oh, I'm trying to think. There's a discussion about this. They talk about there's a whole machlokas, the Marshal, the Chazanish of Chaim Kanievsky, about davening for Yiras Shemayim. You daven for Yiras Shemayim. Because the Gemara says, Hakobi the Shemayim, Chosmi Yiras Shemayim. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's up to us. We have the full control. So am I allowed to daven for Yiras Shemayim? Is that considered me doing it, or am I trying to ask a Kosh Baruch Hu to do it? Which one's it coming from? So there's a Marsha about this, there's a Chazanish, a whole big discussion when I'm davening, if I'm actually doing it. But I believe it connected to this Ron here, that if davening is viewed as me doing it, so I can't daven for somebody to die, because that's me doing it. But if davening is me just asking Hashem to do something, and he's really doing it, so then just like I could ask Hashem to do the killing, but I can ask Hashem to give me Yiras Shemayim because only I could create Yiras Shemayim. He can't give me Yiras Shemayim. I think they connect these sugyas, but I don't entirely remember.
Yirmiyahu says there's a chiddush. Yes, reya melishon irat shemayim melishon reya, meaning everything is shemayim, even your irat shemayim, but the ability to see irat melishon reya. That everything the Shemayim is up to you.
Uh-huh. All right. That's very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So me,
all right, I'll go give me a shkoyach later. Says the Gemara, Rava Yoma Kadama Dechalosh. So, Rava had gotten sick. What does Yoma Kadama mean? Says the Ron, nothing.
The first day.
The first day he got sick?
Yeah.
Okay, the first day he was ill. Amr Lahun, he says to them, the people, the Talmidim maybe, Lo Tigli Inish De Lo Lisrei Mazla. Don't tell people, as to not ruin my Mazla, so things shouldn't get worse. Mikan Ve'elach, after that point, Amr Lahun, then he said, after a few days, I guess, Amr Lahun Poki Ve'achrizi B'shuka Dechol Desani Li Lichadi Li. Then it got so bad, I guess, let's go out and make an announcement in the marketplace that anybody who hates me should be happy with me, should have simcha with me, so they shouldn't ruin my get my sickness to be worse. He was concerned with Ayin Hara, it seems. And the pasuk says, "Benafal evecha al tismach." When your enemy falls, don't rejoice. V'dirachim li libay lai rachmi. And those who love me should daven on my behalf. So Rav says, "Kol mevakeh acholah nitzal medina shekhenem." Anybody who visits a sick person is spared from the judgment of Gehenna. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Ashrei maskil el dal biyom ra yimaltehu Hashem." Praiseworthy is he who's maskil dal el dal. I guess someone who's poor or who's sick on the day of biyom ra, Hashem will save you. He'll spare you. And ein dal el acholah, says the Gemara. Dal refers to somebody who's sick. Shenemar midla yivtenu, or inami. Another source is minhada and kra from another pasuk that madua tabachacha dal ben melech. One of those two psukim, or both the psukim, are proving that dal means sick. And ein ra el gehenim, and evil ra means here gehenim. Shenem ar depozik says, ko pal Hashem limaneu v'gam rasha liyom ra. So we see from here that this whole pasuk, reading it together, ashrei, I'm going back to the pasuk for a second, ashrei maskil el dal, those who, I guess, assist the sick, biyom ra, on the day of evil, which refers to gehenim, yimalteu Hashem, Hashem will spare them from the din of gehenim. Vim biker mascharo, and if he does, not only will he be protected, but he'll also gain something. If he does go visit the sick, what's his schar? Mascharo kidamar nitzal medina shekhenem. Oh, that's the part of the schar that he saved from Genem, and the mascharo b'm hazeh. I mean, what's the reward in this world? Is he going to get something also here? Hashem yishmeru v'chayeu. Hashem will protect him and have him live longer. V'voshe be'aret, and he'll have wealth in the land. V'altaneu b'nefesh oivav. Hashem be'oivav, and he will be protected from his enemies. So, what does it mean? Hashem yishmeru.
How do you make the connection, meaning to this chav olam, to that pasuk specifically?
The pasuk.
Meaning the million psukim, abotach b'Hashem chesed yisavenu, a million psukim that Hashem will do good. In
Tehillim
specifically.
It says Ba'aret. Ba'aret would mean this world.
It's
the same as Tehillim. I'm not sure
that's it. It's all the same. Which Tehillim is this?
Tehillim and
Malach. Okay, yeah. They're actually different orders, though. Yeah, they're number took them apart, but... Wait a second. I'm looking at the wrong places here. Ashi Maskil. Oh, no, they're right next to each other. Beis and Gimel. Okay. Yeah. So what does it mean, Hashem Yishmeri? Hashem will protect us. He'll protect us from Yitzhara. And what does it mean, Yichayehu? Mina Yisrum, he'll bring us to life. He'll protect us from bad things. V'oshir b'art she'yo kol miskavdimbo, that everyone's going to honor him and respect him. And what does it mean, V'al tisneil b'nefesh o'evav, he won't be given to the hands of his enemies. She'is d'amenu lo re'em kinaman sharifa sarasa, he'll be presented with very nice friends, like Naaman, who was healed from Taras. And we will not have friends like those who had split up the Malchus of Rechavam. Okay. Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Im Yamru Lechal Yiladim Bana Vizikanim Sasser. If the young kids are telling you build, and the elders are telling you destroy, Shama Zakanim, you should listen to the elders, the al tishma liyaladim, and don't listen to the young ones. Shebinyan yaladim stira, the building of young ones are like destroying. Ustira zakenim binyan, and the destruction of zakenim is considered building. The similar davar, and the mnemonic to remember this is Rechavam ben Shlomo. Rechavam ben Shlomo, Rechavam was the son. He was the one who destroyed. His father Shlomo was the one who created, and so that's the mnemonic. And I guess we only bring this in to. Because of Rechavam, I guess. What?
Shlomo, the son of David?
Yes. So what it's referring to is, although it sounds like a generic statement, the Rashi, the Mefarish, says it's very limited. What it's referring to particularly is the Beis HaMikdash. It says, "Im yomu l'chal narim banna Beis HaMikdash, v'zakenim omrim sasser v'altivna, don't build it, we should listen to the elders and not build it." It's more also appears in Megillah. The Gemara there elaborates a little bit more. Yeah, I forget the more I talk to the whole story there. Okay, I remember what the story is though. Talks about. I remember. Okay, the Gemara says now, Amar Rav Shisha Braid Rav Idi. Lo lisod inish ktsira. A person should not feast. What does this mean? Rashi, the Ran says, Lo Little inish lo yivaker. A person should not visit. A person pkudas kol adam mitargum v'siada. Not lashon tzu. They're not eating, but it really means to visit. You should not visit. Ktsira lo b'tlashay kadmaisa. Not the first 3 hours of the day. Lo b'tlashay basraisa yoma. And not the last 3 hours of the day. Why? Ki heicha de lo lisech daita. So you shouldn't give up hope. Min rachamay from davening. Why? Tlasha kadmisa, the first 2 days, Rav Chadaita, the guy's awake, he slept well, he looks like he's healthy, he doesn't need me to daven for him. And Basraisa, the last 3 hours of the day, talk of Chulsha, he gets so weak and tired and drained, like he has no hope, this guy's not making it, I'm not going to daven for him either. Therefore, a person should go in the middle of the day, is the ideal time to go visit. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rabin, Amar Rav, Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Zanis Echola." How do we know that Hakadosh Baruch Hu sustains one who is sick? Shneimar, the pasuk says, "Hashem Yisadenu Al Erish Davi." What's the whole pasuk here? Where's that pasuk? Al Erish Davi. Kol Mishkavo Hafachta B'Chelil. Pasuk says, "Hashem is Yisadenu." He satisfies. He satiates. I'm not sure what Al Erish Davi means. And those whoever is lying down in his illness. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rabin, Amar Rab, Minayin Sheshchina Shurim Lamal Mimitaso Shechola." How do we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the Shechina is resting above the head of the sick? Shenemar Hashem Yisadenu Al Erish Davai. So, what does that pasuk mean? Anything in the article for English?
Hashem will fortify him. While Hashem is on the sick bed.
So, Erish Davai means sick bed, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So there we have it. It's in the first pasuk that according to the Shechina is being shorel on top of the mita of a chola. Tani nami hachi. The Brisa says the same idea. Hanichnas levaker is a chola. One who goes to visit the chola lo yashav lo agave mita. He shouldn't sit on the bed where the chola is. Lo agave safsal, shouldn't even sit on the bench or the couch. Lo agave kisa, not on a chair. Ela misate v'yoshav agave karka. He should sit on the floor wrapped in his talis. Mipnei sheshchina shruya milmal mivitasa shel chola. Because the Shechina is there and you have to have a kavod. Shenamar Hashem Yisadenu Al Eres Davai. The question is, this is certainly not the practice to sit down on the floor wrapped in the talus. I think many also sit down when they go visit. So says the Ran here. The Ran explains Lo Yashiv Lo Agavi Kis Mita Lo Agavi Safsal Ikaman Damar. There are those who explain the Davka Kishachola Shochev Agavi Karka Shenimtka Mivaker Gavomi Makum Shechina. That is when the person is lying on the floor, the Shechina is low down, then you're above it, you can't sit down above it. But if the Chol is on a bed, and the Shechina is here, and you sit down, so as long as you're not sitting above the Shechina, if you're sitting below, I assume most cases the bed's pretty high, so you're going to be sitting below where the Shechina is going to be shorer. Okay. Now we get to the hard stuff. You guys ready? There's very few lines left over, but this is very, very hard. Mikvah stuff, as we have a full 30 minutes to do this. Let's take it slow. Amar Rabin, Rabin said, Amar Rav Matra, Amar Rav Mitra, the Bimarava, when it rains in Marava in the west, Sad the Rabba Pras, the Nar Pras, the Euphrates River in Bavel, will be the Edus, will be the testimony of this. Okay, so let's see what that means for a second. Let's look at the Ran here. The Ran explains, Amar Rabbi Abin, Amar Rav, Mitra b'marava, Sada Rabba Pras. When there's rain in the west in Eretz Yisrael, the Edus is found by the Edus Rabba is found in the Euphrates River. Kishayorid Mata b'Eretz Yisrael. When it rains in Eretz Yisrael, Meid Allah Pras b'bava. Again, the Pras River is testifying on this. Shekol Shehu Gadol b'yadu, anything that's big, b'yadua, Shafa Pishal Yarduk Shamim Kan Yarduk Shamim b'Eretz Yisrael. When the Euphrates River begins to overflow, or at least increase, it's indicating that it rained in Eretz Yisrael. The nafka mina l'shaaselit v'bo. And the nafka mina is that one may not be tovel anymore in the Euphrates River. Why is that the case? The fi she'ein meg shamim hanotvin mitarin bizochlin elabash boron. That the rain that drips is not mitar when it flows only bashboron, only if it is in stagnant waters in the same place. Kolomer, the kavu v'kaima has to be in the same place. The halacha is that's when building a mikveh. They're building this new mikveh now in Grove, the Cedarhurst mikveh now. What?
Before?
On Grove, right next to the post office. And you know where Grove is?
Central and Grove.
Yeah, between Central and West Broadway, the post office there on Grove.
You next go to the track station. Like,
yeah, the train tracks. Yeah, and then there's it's boarded up. You can't see what's going on.
Is the shul? Is the shul?
No, no shul, but they're building a very nice mikvah there. And I know the people involved. I wanted to go see how they built a well and everything. I missed the boat for that one. They already built it. But the way it works, I never learned mikvahs well, but the way it works is they have this pit and the rainwater falls in. So they probably did a good job. It rained the other night. Probably filled it up, I guess. So the rain has to be in the same location. Once you have that rain in the same, you can't move, you cannot carry rain elsewhere. It has to be in that very location. So if it rains, so once you have that rain, that's the mikvah. And then all the water that comes in is just always doing through hashaka. It's always connecting to that hole, you know, the hole in the mikvah, to the new water is connecting to that rainwater that exists and stays there forever in that same place. That's what you need to do. But you can't use rainwater and transport it elsewhere.
When it will be ready?
When will it be raining?
Ready.
Oh, ready? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. Probably another year or so.
It's open to everybody?
Women only, not men.
Oh, only women?
Maybe they might turn into men eventually, but I think it's supposed to be exclusive for women at this point. Mm. Anyway, so the actually interesting shaila comes up is based on this, and you go to places in Arizona, let's say, where it's very hot and doesn't rain. So how are you supposed to have a mikvah? Either you have a mikvah from a natural spring, an ocean, which is all natural, or you have to have rainwater. So there's no like oceans or anything like that in Arizona, and there's no rain either.
But
so
it does rain once in blue moon.
Yeah, I guess not enough. I don't know. Different places. These are issues in the hot places. So what they have to do is they have to transport with ice. With ice, and somehow that gets around this problem. Okay. So let's keep reading the Ran here. So again, the Kidatanya, continuing the Ran, Kidatanya b'Sifri, the Sifri tells us, Ima Mayan Mitar b'Zochlin, Af Mikvah Mitar b'Zochlin. One would think, just like a Mayan, a spring, when it's a flowing water, a river from a spring, it's Mitar, it works, an ocean, Af Mikvah Mitar b'Zochlin. So to a Mikvah of said water, rainwater could also be Mitar, even though it's flowing, even though it's moving out of its initial place. Tamalomer ach mayanu bor, mayan mitar bezochlin u mikvah bashbor. A spring can be mitar when it flows, but a mikvah only works if it's set, if it's stagnant waters. Hilkach, therefore, kol hecha deikla mecha shema rabu notvin al zochlin asr. Therefore, whenever the rainwater is going to be more than the flowed water, it's going to be asr. Uhainu kishanar gadol harbe. So when the river begins to overflow in the Euphrates, it tells us there's a lot of rainwater now. Somehow there must have been a channel below ground that connected, I don't know, that we know of any connection of the rainwaters of Israel all the way to Iran, Iraq, wherever it is, the Euphrates is. But somehow the rainwater is going to start increasing the Euphrates. So when there's more rainwater that has traveled from Eretz Israel to the Euphrates, it tells us there's too much rainwater now, and you can't use the spring. The rainwater has compensated the spring that was there.
Where is this river that goes from Israel to Iraq? Whatever?
Now, I don't know where it is, but the Euphrates is, which is it, Iraq? Iran? Yeah. Iraq, right? So the Euphrates River is there, so it's quite a distance. So there's no river that goes from west to east connecting the rain of Eretzel to Euphrates. So there must be a river underground. The Gemaras and Bukharas talk about these rivers that are hidden. It could be, I don't know, the moisture of the ground. I don't know how it works. But somehow, when it rains Eretzel, it's going to affect the Euphrates.
Could be that, like from the Golan or someplace, you know, that maybe little springs sort of wind up going, feeding the Euphrates.
Yeah.
It really drains the Euphrates. Uh-huh. It was drained into the Yarden.
Uh-huh. So, all somehow connected. I once saw a documentary of the Nile River. It's really there's like a number of rivers down below in South Africa that worked their way all the way up eventually to get its way to the Nile. One wouldn't know this unless you follow along the path. So maybe there's such paths also, maybe smaller paths of streams connecting them. I don't know. Okay, but let's continue in the Ran now. Hainu kishanar gadol harbe. That's when the river is very, very much full. Aval im hayaholech la'ata, if it's slowly building up, o shalom nisraba, it's not increasing, elamat lekhletzuki beribus nitfashari. If there's no concern, if we don't think there's that much rainwater yet, then you could still use the Euphrates as a mikvah. Kedatani, like the Brisa tells us, but tosefta hey Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok al hazochlin shrabal notvin. If the flowing water is more than the notvin, the dripped water, the rainwater, shame k'shem, it's a good mikvah. So that's the first cloud we have. So back to the Gemara now. Again, Amar Rav, let's read that again. Amar Rav, Mitcha b'marava, if it rains in the west, the Sad the Rabba Pras. The Pras is going to increase. The Edus is going to be found in the Pras. So Pligi de Shmuel, but Shmuel argues on this. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Nahara Mikifa Mizbarich. So what does this mean? So it says the Ran on the bottom, who Pligi de Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, Nahara Mikifa Mizbarich. Mikifa Miselo, from the keeper, from the dome, from the rock, not the dome of the rock, but the rock, Kolomer, Mimakoro, who Misgadel. From its source, it gets bigger. It's not getting bigger from the rain air to soil. It's getting bigger from its own spring. The spring is beginning to increase in the Euphrates. Shafal pisha anu roen kshak shamim yordan naharos mishrabim. Even though we've seen there, it seems to be a correlation that when it happens to rain air to soil, suddenly the Euphrates is starting to increase. Even though it seems like they correlate. Ikar ribuin mi bekorn hor. The real source of the increase in water is really from the source itself, from the spring, and not the rain of Eretz Yisrael. Kidamrinim beperek seder netainios, the Gemara tells us, ein lecha kol tefach v'tefach yored milmala, shein tom ola lekras tvachayim. Whenever it rains from above, the water from below, the ma'ayanos, come to greet the rain atop. So there is a certain connection between the two, but it's not that the rain is making its way over to the Euphrates, just there's this relationship of the rain above to the rain below. What comes out is that there's always more flowing water in the Euphrates than there is of rainwater. Whenever it's at one tefach of rain, the Gemara Tanya tells us there's two tefachim of spring water. Therefore, Shmuel holds that all year long, no matter when, you're allowed to be tova in the rain, even though you might see that the river's increasing, it's because of the mayon that's increasing. Yeah, we're good so far? Good.
Sure.
Then the Gemara says, "Upligi the Shmuel," but Shmuel happens to contradict what he himself says. Why? Damar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Ein hamayim mitarim bezochlin, ela, and this is the huge run, ela pras biyomei tishrei bilad. So what does this mean here? That, what? Right, so he says, the only time you could use these flowing waters is during Tishrei. But the rest of the year, you cannot use the pras. You cannot pras, you may not use it. So, do we go through this run here?
He said, I think that Shmuel does say that you can use the rivers.
That was the first part. But now he says you could only use the river in Tishrei.
No, okay.
The rest of the year, you cannot use it because it's a concern of the rain. Let's read to the Ran. We do have 20 minutes. The Ran says, the first one is, we're not going to do the Linyan Halakha. Let's just do the first Ran right now. The Ran says, Ela pras biyomi Tishrei bilvad. Lefi she'eno eis kshamim. During Tishrei, it's not supposed to rain right now. Veloz man hafshar shlagim. Neither is it the time where the snow is melting. Velo lemeisar kol anaros chutz mipras asa. We're only talking about the nar pras right now. Velo lemeisar nami pras b'chol shana. We're not asering the pras the entire year. Ela b'yom Tishrei asa. Dechevin dechuli chashasha. Since the whole concern is mishum shema yarbu with notvin al hazochlini, that there's going to be more rain than there is flowing water. Kol shana b'kin b'pras b'yom Tishrei kam hi al yasa. Whenever we know we're experts in this, I didn't get that point there. It says here. So I'm not sure exactly what he's saying here, but the idea being that we see Shmuel only permitted during Tishrei because Tishrei there's no concern of rain and there's no concern of melting snow. But the rest of the year, before Tishrei, where it's the summer, there's a concern. Remember, I know we think snow is strange, but someone just told me he was telling me a few years ago, before he got married, he went to Yellowstone Park and other places where he could go into these mountains where the bottom of the mountain, the foot of the mountain is 80 degrees, but by the time you get to the top, there's snow on the top. So in the summer months, so when there's snow on the top, it's possible, even though it's summer, it's possible that they'll melt eventually and they're going to fill up the rivers. By the time it gets to Tishrei, it's not hot enough to start melting the snow. At the same time, it's not raining yet either. The Tishrei is the only time you can use the Euphrates River. But the rest of the year, there's always a chashash that either the rain or the snow is coming to fill it up, and they're going to be marba on the flowing water, on the flowing spring.
Sounds like the Rambam is limiting that very much. He's saying, like, as long as you know what the baseline of each month is, then you can use
right.
it.
Right. It's what's saying. If you know more, if you know, like, if you can figure out how much is coming in from the, even the other
you
months.
You know that the Tishrei never goes below 10 feet. Even when it's been when it's the dry season, it's been dry, when there's been a drought that year, and it's 10 feet now, you can go in.
Right, I think that's what you're saying, very good.
Every single Tishrei.
Right.
Just that if it happens to be 20 feet.
How do you measure it?
You mark on the wall.
Well, you would measure it if you stick in the middle and you see the left.
I think you're right. Let's go back to that run. Let's take it again, where it says, Kol she'anu bekiyin bepras. It's four lines from the top. Kol shanu bekim bepras. Anyone who's bakin pras biyomi Tishrei kam hel yaso. In Tishrei, we could assume in Tishrei that there's no rain and there's no snow. So whatever the level is, let's say it's 10 feet. That's the level. And if there's 10 feet of water, we know, or less, we know there's no rainwater there. So he says v'chein b'shar naharos. Also, any other river v'yodin anu b'hem shalolam einu mesmait mishir kach. We know it can never get less than this 10 feet level, or whatever the level. Even when it gets there's a big drought, there's this level it never gets below. Then kol shein anu roen bo kim oso shir. Whenever we see that shear of 10 feet, lama nachshol. There's no concern. It's only when it increases above. It probably has to be 20 feet. It has to be double. Because if there's less than double, the zochlin will be rove of the notvim. So as long as it doesn't increase, so we could use it even there are other months of the year. So in theory, there are times of Nisan you could use the Euphrates, according to this opinion, as long as you know it's at the right level. Elishmuel Tarti Kamash Lanaran says there are two things that Shmuel is teaching us. Chad, the one thing is, the Naros Shein Mechazmin Meimen Ein Tovim Behen Liolam. What does Mechazmin mean? When they're increasing? Yeah, I think so. I think when the rivers are starting to increase, the levels are rising, one shouldn't use them. Dechevin Shepamim Shem Mechazmin Liolam. Since the water is increased, the level got higher, there's a concern that there's rain or snow that melted. What's considered mayim ha-mechazmin? Ha-mechazmin pa-machaz b'shavua. Ha-mechazmin pe-plumus yos b'shnei b'tziros k'sherin. I'm not sure what this is referring to right now. Okay, so that's the basic klal. So again, the first Shmuel said that you could use the Euphrates all year long because when the Euphrates increases, it's not because of the rain air to sell, it's because the klal, whenever it rains one tefach, the water below increases two tefachim. And therefore, you could always use the pras. But then Shmuel says you could only use the pras during Tishrei because the rest of the months were concerned of either rain or snow. Then the Gemara says the top line of Mem Mabez, Avuha de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, Ovid Lahon Mikvos Libante, he would make build mikvahs for his daughters during the times of Nisan and Mafse, and he would create mats during the times of Tishrei. So what's the point of this? So the Ran says, Avu d'shmul avir le, it's around eight wide lines down, Avu d'shmul avir lehu levante mikvahs b'yom Nisan, shem mipnei sh'ayachosh is lafshar shlagim, since there's a concern that the snow's melting, lo haya minichan letvol bezochlin, he wouldn't let them use the pras, or as a mikvah, he had to therefore build a mikvos, a certain mikvah like we have, and the rain come in, and that would be the mikvahs during Nisan. Umafse biyomei Tishrei, they have these mats to be used during Tishrei, because you could use the nar pras, but they would have a mat, so they wouldn't get dirty, and wouldn't have a chatzitza on their feet, as they would go into the muddy pras. Says the Ran, binar hayanosan tachas kapos reglam, they place them below their feet, bishum tit de lo levi chatzitza, so it shouldn't serve as a chatzitza. Inami alternately litznius abalma as a certain tznius, not sure that tznius by having them on the ground,
oh, yes,
unless it was a wall,
hang
right? Maybe hang mats, right?
But it's at the foot.
No, that was the first shot. The second shot, mafsi must be a little box they created floating. Like I know, in like the camps, and if they use a lake, let's say as a mikvah, they have a little enclosed area where you could go into the mikvah. L'tpol banar mishum d'biyom tishrei lekel mechash lezochen. And you could use the river because during Tishrei, as we just said, that there's no concern of zochen. Okay, I guess we'll stop. You don't need to do the next part. That's part of the next sugya, but I guess we'll stop here. There's a, again, the rest of the round is a huge round in terms of halach l'maisa. Very, very important stuff. But we'll leave that aside for now, even though we do have a lot of time.